Father, we just thank you for worship. We thank you for the sung worship that we've been able to enjoy and be part of. We thank you for the reading of your word. And now we turn to that word and ask that the words that we hear will be your words this morning. Open our hearts and minds again to receive from you just what you want to say to us. And may we respond to those words and that word in a positive way, that we may serve you as you desire it. Bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some questions for you just now. Who do you think sows seeds in your mind on Sunday mornings? I'm sure no one here gets these seeds sown into them. Stay at home. Stay at home. No one will miss you if you don't go to church this morning. Have a morning in. Who do you think causes turmoil or chaos in the house? Can't find this as you're trying to get ready. Can't find that as you're trying to get dressed and out of the house. Can't find the keys to the house or the keys to the car as you want to leave in time to get to church. In good time. Who makes the journey difficult? Roadworks, diversions, behind a slow car perhaps that you wish would go a little bit quicker. Who plants the seeds in your mind? The music's too loud. The children are noisy. Someone is sitting in my seat this morning. Is the Sunday dinner burning? Have I left the oven on? See, Peter describes him in his letter as someone who prowls around like a roaring lion waiting to devour us. Jesus describes him as the evil one, the wicked one. Who is it? He's our enemy, the devil, who despises you. He's despising you right now. He hates the very ground that you walk on. He's spitting feathers this morning because you are in God's house and you're worshiping together with his people. You're sharing together with God's people. You're lifting up the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he doesn't like that. He'd much rather you would listen to that little niggly voice in your ear saying, don't go today. It's a lovely day. Why don't you go out for a drive? Why don't you go out and go somewhere else? You don't need to go to church this morning. See, puts those little niggly voices into your mind. Because he wants to disrupt your relationship with our Heavenly Father. He wants to break that relationship that you have with him. You know, we've been places in the past that have said to us, I don't believe in the devil. Oh, dangerous. Dangerous. For if we fail to recognize the reality of the existence of the devil, we expose ourselves to the possibility of hindering God's will in our lives. See, he's actively trying to hinder your relationship, my relationship with my Heavenly Father and with my Savior Jesus Christ. He would love to do anything that would hinder that relationship. Put out my relationship with my Savior off kilter so it's not quite what our Father wants it for us. So this morning, just for the next few moments, we're going to have a look at those things, some of those ways that the devil puts those seed thoughts into our minds and see how we can overcome and have victory over our adversary. Let's look together this morning, just for a few moments, at the one who was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin, so that he might be able to help us when we are tempted. Jesus, our Savior. We had the story read to us a few moments ago. Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. It's important that we relate our Lord's temptation in the desert to our own lives, our own daily living as we go about our business. Temptation is not something exclusive to our Lord's life and remote from our lives. Temptation is a fact of human experience. Jesus faced Satan as the Son of Man. And Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Temptation is something that is common to all men. Temptation is something common to all men. As Adam, first man, met Satan in a beautiful garden with everything he needed and failed in his victory over Satan, Jesus, the second Adam, met Satan in a wilderness, alone, tired, and hungry, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and overcame his adversary. Yet while we can see that temptation is part of God's plan for us, and he will not allow us to be tempted more beyond what we can bear, we also must recognize that it's not God's doing. God doesn't tempt anyone. James chapter 1 and verse 13 says, When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God does not tempt anyone. Temptations. When those things are put into our minds and those seeds are sown to do those things that are not of God, when those things come into our mind that would lead us away from God's will for us, it's the devil's work. And he would love nothing more than to sow seeds into your mind that would lead you away for what God's will and purpose is for your life. See, being led by the Spirit does not immune us from temptation. Before we've given our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ and we have accepted him into our lives as our Savior, doesn't mean to say that we are going to be free from temptation. It doesn't mean to say that the devil's going to stop working. In fact, he will work even harder. If people are already not doing God's will, what has he got to do in their lives? It's those people who are trying to do God's will, are trying to go the way that God wants him to go. They're the people that he wants to disrupt and cause havoc in their lives. We are battling with a real enemy. We are battling daily with a real enemy who will give us no rest. And to imagine that he doesn't exist just leads us into one of these snares. For the moment we say, there is no Satan, there is no devil, then he is winning in our lives. So what were the methods of temptation that the devil used? We've looked at this passage, I'm sure, many, many times before. Let's just look at briefly at what those temptations were. The first involved the love of God and the will of God. Satan says to Jesus, since you are God's beloved son, why doesn't he feed you? Why has he left you here for 40 days and 40 nights without food? Why has he put you into this wilderness? A subtle temptation. His father doesn't love him. If the father really loved you, he would have provided for you. He would have given you all that you needed to see you through this 40 days and 40 nights. And the same temptation comes into our lives too. Why has God allowed this or that situation to happen to me? Why has God allowed this particular thing to go on in my life or in the life of someone I love? Doesn't he love me? Doesn't he care for me anymore? You see, we face that temptation to think because of what's happening in our lives, what's going on in our lives, is because God doesn't love us anymore. We are not important to him anymore. Why has God led and left me in this barren, lonely wilderness, in this part and in this time of my life? Why am I where I am at this moment in my life? Doesn't God love me anymore? Of course he does. Of course he does. But it's also saying something else too. You see, the devil says to Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Feed yourself. Feed yourself. Turn these stones into bread. Use your divine powers to meet your own needs and the needs of others. Now, we know that Jesus could have easily turned those stones into bread. He was capable of such miracles. He was capable of doing such things. If he can feed 5,000 people with a few buns and a couple of fish, then we know he's capable of doing that. He's capable of the power to do that. Turn those stones into bread. Feed people. Feed yourself at this particular time. We know that if he'd have done that, he would have been acting independently of his Father and the need to obey his Father at that particular time. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 reminds us that the wandering Israelites may have made to see the source of bread, God, was more important than the bread itself. Feeding on and obeying God's word is more important than consuming physical bread and physical food. Jesus refused to work a miracle to avoid personal suffering when suffering was part of God's will for him. Do your own thing. Go your own way. You'd be better off doing your own thing than following God's will. That's the temptation that's being put into the minds. And sometimes we face that temptation too. The second temptation is even craftier. In response to our Lord's quoting scripture, Satan now uses scripture and uses the word of God himself. Let me quote you, says Satan. Let me quote you a word of scripture and see if you will obey it. So Satan takes Jesus to the pinnacle of a temple, possibly the one in imagination 500 feet above the Kidron Valley, and quotes Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. And he quotes to Jesus, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." So he quotes scripture to Jesus, where the scriptures promises to care for his own. If you really believe the scriptures, says Satan to Jesus, jump. If you really believe the scriptures, throw yourself off this pinnacle before the scripture says Jesus will have his angels come and catch you in their arms. Let's see if really God really cares for you, Satan is saying. Satan has cleverly admitted a phrase from the psalm which says, "In all your ways," which completely changes the context of when it was first written. And so Jesus reminds Satan that we are not to test the Lord our God. Scripture does not encourage the faithful to tempt or to test God in any way by taking unnecessary risks, but assures them that God will keep us wherever his way may lead, providing that we are obedient to his will and purpose. Faith is not attempting to see how far we can push God to answer our wishes, but an attitude that allows God to fulfill his will through our lives day by day. As a simple illustration, if you're a diabetic and you need to take insulin or you need to take something to help you with that diabetes, and we don't take it, and we refuse to take whatever we need to help us, and just say, "Jesus will take care of me. I place myself in Jesus' hands. I don't need to take the insulin. I don't need to take the tablets. God will put his arms underneath me and lift me up." No. If we need to take something to help us, if we need to take something that will enable us to manage whatever we need to manage, then we must take them. We must take them. When a child of God is in the will of God, then the Father will take care. The third temptation focuses directly on Jesus' ultimate mission. He had come to seek and serve and save the lost, to reconcile man to God. The devil was offering a shortcut to this particular work, to his kingdom. If you bow down and worship me, just once. If you acknowledge me as Lord just once, you can enjoy all the glory that will become yours in the future without the suffering. The tempter was suggesting that Jesus take another route to win the world than to take the way of the cross. To compromise with evil and to achieve the right end by the wrong reason. Little did Satan, or did he, that they were all part of his kingdom already. He already owned, he was the Son of God. He already owned all the kingdoms. His work on earth was to come and to serve and to save the lost. See, there are no shortcuts to the will of God. If we want to share in his glory, we must share in his suffering too. So three temptations. Use your power to feed yourself and to feed everybody else. If you do that, the world will follow you. They'll follow anybody who will feed them. Test God. Test God by throwing yourself off and see if those angels come down just as God promised. Oh, will they? Test God. Or get the means, the purpose for your coming by a shortcut method without the cross. And we know that our Lord's work on earth meant the cross. Thank you for the cross, we sang earlier. Thank you for the cross. We knew that part of God's redemption for mankind was the Calvary, was the cross at Calvary. That there he would take on himself the punishment and the sin of each and every one of us. That was part of God's plan and purpose for our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. There were no shortcuts. There were no shortcuts. So they were the methods of temptation that came to Jesus. And in our own particular way, we will face those same temptations. We may not be able to turn stones into bread. We may not be able to do other things. But we face the same temptations in our lives. So how do we overcome? How do we find victory in our temptations? How do we defeat our temptations? We have our example. Our example was read to us there in a lonely desert. Jesus showed us that temptation can be conquered and pointed the way to his victory and our victory over anything that Satan tries to throw at us at any time and in any way. Jesus overcame Satan by using the same weapons that are available to us today and to be effective warriors in the fight that we have to be the hands and feet of Christ in our world today. We need to bring two things to battle. We need a weapon and we need a shield. You see, Jesus went into the desert by the power of the Spirit. He was filled with and led by the Spirit to be tempted and returned in the power of the Spirit to minister in Galilee. Nowhere in the Bible does it suggest that man in his own strength can conquer in life's battle. The foe's too strong and we are too weak. Our victory in all life's temptations is connected to the same Pentecostal power, the same power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had in his life, that the disciples felt come into their life at Pentecost, was in other disciples as they too accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit came upon them. That same power is available and with each and every one of us as we face our Satan, our devil, and helps us defeat him. We have the power of the Word of God that helps us both as a weapon and a shield. It is written, Jesus said on each occasion, it is written. If we are to be triumphant over the attacks of Satan in our lives, we must understand God's word. We must obey God's word, as James 4:7 says, and the devil will flee from us. The more we know of God's word, the more we understand of God's word, the more the devil will flee from us when we use it and we allow it to help us and strengthen us in our lives. And we must learn how to use God's word and learn how to use it right. Jesus shows us an appropriate defense that no darts of the devil can penetrate. God's word. We can never know too much of God's word. We can never study God's word too much. We must know it and use it as a weapon and as a shield against the one who would try to split us from God. And we also have the power of prayer. Luke chapter 3 and 21, and we could use many, many other biblical illustrations. As he was praying, as he went out into a lonely place to pray. Early in the morning, he went and prayed. He prayed, he prayed. He communed with his heavenly Father. He sought from his heavenly Father God's will and purpose for his life. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, pray on all occasions. All occasions, pray. And so this morning, how effective is our weapons and our shields against the wiles of the one who seeks to devour us? Are we spirit-led? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us daily in our lives, whatever we're doing, whether at work, whether at home, whether we're out shopping, whether at school, whatever we're doing, do we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us? Are we led by the power of God and the Word of God? Do we allow the Word of God to soak into us so we know more of it and can use it at appropriate times? And if a situation comes to it, that we can use a word of Scripture that will help us and help other people that we're in contact with? And are we using the power of prayer in our Christian lives? Are we communing with our Heavenly Father at all times, in all circumstances, in all situations? Jesus' victory over Satan is our basis for our victory as disciples of Jesus Christ. Let us stand faithful to the one who has already won victory. And we know Satan can be defeated repeatedly in our lives as we identify with the power of Jesus Christ in our lives day by day. Recognize that he is a real enemy of ours and will do anything that he can to divide us and separate us from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. Recognize that. But recognize that we have the weapons that will help us to overcome and defeat him in all circumstances. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God that enables us in our daily lives to help us to overcome all those temptations that we may face. Help us to recognize that Satan is a real enemy of our Heavenly Father, and do all that he can, will do all he can to hinder us in being the people that God wants us to be. Help us to realize that there are more people who need the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And we may come in contact with them, and may we have the words to share with them, and may we then pray for them in the Spirit. So Father, thank you for your word this morning. Help us to take it into our hearts and lives just now. I ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.